This is Castle Playhouse. From the stages and studios, producers and playwrights of the world, your hosts, the brewers of Castle Lager, bring you the week's finest radio entertainment, Castle Playhouse.
Libel.
Silence! Silence in court!
You are Sir Mark Loddon, 3rd Baronet of Ingworth Hall in the County of Norfolk.
I am.
You are married to Enid, daughter of General Edgar Winterton, CV.
That is so.
You have one son, Ronald.
Yes.
You are certain that you are indeed Sir Mark Loddon and that no one else has any right to your title, estate, and position?
Certainly not.
And there's no truth in the allegation that you're not Sir Mark Loddon, but an impostor?
That is a lie. An infamous libel.
What's all this business about Mark Loddon and a libel action?
Haven't you heard? A fellow turned up saying he's not the rightful Sir Mark at all.
Tell me about it, Chalmers. I've just returned from America, you know, and I've been out of touch with the London scene.
Well, this chap Buckingham, he's a Canadian, by the way, he says he and another Canadian, Frank Wellney, and Mark Loddon were all in a prisoner of war camp together. And he swears Sir Mark is his friend, Frank Wellney.
Oh, but everybody knows Mark Loddon. What does his family say and his wife?
Oh, they're behind him, of course. I know his uncle, Admiral Fairfax Loddon. Oh, it's a disgraceful charge, but you see, Mark was wounded in the war and lost his memory. And then with 2 years in prison camp, well, he was changed a bit when he came back.
And is this chap, what did you say his name was, Buckingham, making the allegation?
Oh, no, he passed them on to that rag, the Gazette, and they jumped at the chance to get even with Sir Mark. As a recent MP, he has spoken pretty freely in opposition to their policy. So they published this slanderous paragraph stating that Sir Mark is an imposter.
I see. So he's bringing a libel action against the Gazette.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear what sort of defence they put up. Who's their counsel?
Thomas Foxley. And so Wilfred Kelling is appearing for Sir Mark.
I must say that a mere difference of politics doesn't seem sufficient motive for a newspaper to lay itself open to a charge of libel.
Do you think there's something more behind it? Well, yes. Yes, I do. I think there's greed and envy behind it in the person of Captain Gerald Loddon.
Sir Mark, has any member of your family at any time displayed any difficulty in identifying you?
No, certainly not.
Apart from your existence and your sons, who would come into your property and title?
My cousin, Gerald Loddon.
Captain Gerald Loddon, son of your father's younger brother?
Yes. My uncle died 5 years ago, and my father's only surviving brother, Admiral Fairfax Loddon, is childless.
What other family have you?
My parents are dead, so after the Admiral, I suppose my closest and most intimate connections are my wife's parents, General and Mrs. Winterton. They're here in court to support me.
I believe you became engaged to their daughter, Enid, shortly before the war, and married her in May, the year after the war ended.
That is correct.
You were served in Europe during the war with the Rifle Brigade. Were wounded and taken prisoner?
I was.
Will you please tell the court what wounds you suffered, Sir Mark?
I was shot through both thighs and badly shell-shocked.
What happened after you were taken prisoner?
I was in a German hospital for 3 months and then sent to an officer's prison camp.
And after the war?
I was invalided from the army and had a long rest cure. After 6 months or so, I was as well as I suppose I ever shall be and married my wife.
And your son Ronald was born the following year?
That is so.
What is the present state of your health?
Apart from a bit of a limp and my memory, I can't complain.
And what of your memory?
I have practically no recollection at all of events or persons before my imprisonment.
Silence! Silence in court!
Which, I understand, has been attributed by doctors to your wartime experiences in shell shock. Now, Sir Mark, let us return to your cousin, Captain Gerald Loddon, who is heir, after your son, to your title and estate. On what terms have you been with him?
Most friendly until about a year ago. I regarded him as my best friend until then.
What caused the rupture?
Well, it wasn't exactly a rupture. The trouble began about 18 months ago.
How was that?
A Canadian who'd been in the prison camp with me turned up and tried to blackmail me.
Oh, really, my lord? I'm most reluctant to interrupt my friend Sir Wilfred or his witness. But aren't they going rather beyond the limits of relevance?
I'm always anxious to oblige my friend Mr. Foxley, my lord. We won't go into the blackmail incident at present, Sir Mark.
I'm much obliged to Sir Wilfred. I know he's always most anxious
to... Rules of evidence are rarely rules of brevity. We must try to observe them, Mr. Foxley. Please continue, Sir Wilfred.
Thank you, my lord. I have no further questions to put to my client.
You may begin your cross-examination, Mr. Foxley.
If it pleases your lordship. We have heard in this court of your claim to be Sir Mark Loddon, 3rd Baronet of Ingworth Hall in the county of Norfolk.
Yes, that is correct.
I suggest that you are not Mark Loddon, but an imposter pretending for several years to be an English baronet.
That is an infamous libel for which your clients will have to pay.
Of pretending to be the lawful owner of the Loddon estate.
Another damnable lie.
Keep calm, Sir Mark.
And the most unscrupulous pretense of all, of being entitled to woo and marry your wife.
My wife doesn't require the protection of the gutter press.
On my instructions, I'm not so sure of that. Now, if in fact you are not Sir Mark Loddon, but an impostor pretending for many years to be Sir Mark Loddon...
That does not arise. I am Mark Loddon.
What about Frank Wellney? You admit you know a man named Frank Wellney?
Yes, we were in the same prison camp in Germany.
When did you last see him?
Well, now that would be...
Let me help you. Did you shave this morning?
Yes, why?
Didn't you see him then?
Really, my lord, is it necessary for my friend to be so deliberately offensive in the form of his questions?
I must assume that Mr. Foxley is only cross-examining from his instructions. Continue, Mr. Foxley.
Thank you, my lord. I wish to make myself quite clear. I suggest that this man who calls himself Sir Mark Loddon is, in fact, Frank Wellney.
That is a shameful lie without any foundation at all.
Who was Frank Wellney?
He described himself as a captain in the Canadian infantry.
And when did you say you last saw him?
When we escaped together from the prison camp. We became separated.
Was anyone else in the escape party?
Yes, another Canadian officer, Captain Buckingham.
So the party consisted of Sir Mark Loddon, Buckingham, and Wellney?
Yes. Myself and the two Canadians.
And you became separated? How?
We lost one another in the dark. Buckingham went off first to forage for food. He didn't come back.
That left Loddon and Wellney together. What happened next?
Wellney went off to look for Buckingham. He never came back either.
Both got lost the same night?
Or killed.
Ah, killed. That was it?
I don't know. I only mean Wellney. I know Buckingham is alive. So do you.
Whom do you say was killed, Wellney or Loddon?
I won't answer that question. You know I am alive.
Yes, I know you're alive. Did you make any inquiries at the time about your, shall we say, mislaid companions?
Of course I did.
And you've never heard from them since?
Not from Wellney.
But you heard from Buckingham?
Yes, he turned up at my home 2 years ago and tried to blackmail me.
Why should he want to do that?
You know perfectly well, Mr. Foxley. His allegations were supported by your clients, the Gazette, and form the basis of this libel action.
Will you please tell the jury what his allegations were?
That I was not myself.
Who did he think you were?
He pretended to think I was Wellney.
Wellney? I hope you won't resent my reviving what may be melancholy recollections of that unfortunate man.
It makes no difference. You're paid to ask these questions, and I'm compelled to answer them. English justice.
Yes, English justice, sometimes justified by its methods. Now, would you please describe Wellney's appearance to the jury?
Well, nothing particular. Very ordinary-looking fellow.
Oh, come, come. I don't want you to be unduly modest. Was he not, in fact, remarkably like you?
No.
Let me put the question another way. Wasn't he remarkably like Sir Mark Loddon?
I never noticed it.
You never noticed it? Did other people notice it?
No.
I have a letter here addressed to Dear Cousin Gerald and signed Mark Loddon. Do you remember this letter? Look at it.
No, but I must have written it.
Well, I'm not suggesting you did, but it looks as though Mark Loddon did.
You needn't be so offensive. Of course it's my letter.
Then will you please read the last paragraph to the jury?
There are only two other British prisoners here, both Canadians. The prison staff affect to see a remarkable resemblance between me and one of them called Wellney. I can't see it myself. I told you I didn't.
Read on, please.
Wellney himself is quite laughably interested in the similarity. Almost feels one of the Loddon family already.
Almost feels one of the Loddon family already. That must have struck you as highly amusing.
Let me look at that letter. Usher, pass it to me, please. Thanks.
Doesn't this letter recall anything to you?
No, it's a long time ago.
That's a pity. I wonder if you remember any physical peculiarities about this man Welney.
No, I can't say I do.
I'm fortunate enough to have an official description of Welney from the Canadian Army records. I'm going to read something from it. Has the initials F.W. tattooed on his right forearm in red and blue circle.
Has he? Yes. Now I come to think of it, I remember he was tattooed.
I wonder if you would mind showing my lord and the jury your forearm.
What are you suggesting?
I suggest that your right forearm has the letters F.W. tattooed on it.
I'm quite prepared to admit that there is tattooing on my arm. There are some letters on it, but not those.
May we see for ourselves what they are?
Really, my lord, is it necessary for me to submit to every insult from counsel?
Mr. Foxley is only doing what he is entitled to regard as his duty for his client.
Do what Mr. Foxley asks, Sir Larkin.
There you are.
Well, as far as I can see, the initials tattooed on the plaintiff's arm are E.W. in a red, blue, and green circle.
E.W.? That is so, my lord. I suggest those letters E.W. were originally F.W. for Frank Welney. It would require only the addition of a single stroke, wouldn't it?
A single stroke? Yes, I suppose it would.
Will you please tell the jury what the letters E.W. stand for?
Well, E.W. were my fiancé's initials, Enid Winterton.
And when did you have them tattooed?
In the camp by a fellow prisoner.
Why?
To pass the time. Time goes rather slowly in a prison camp.
I dare say. It comes to this, doesn't it? Frank Welney, the Canadian soldier, had F.W. tattooed on his right forearm before his captivity. And Sir Mark Lawton, the English baronet, had E.W., almost the same letters, tattooed on the same arm during his captivity. It's a world of coincidences, isn't it?
I don't see much coincidence in it.
Don't you? Frank Worley's initials are enclosed in a red and blue circle.
And my wife's are not.
No. Yours are in a red, blue, and green circle.
Precisely.
More coincidence. Just one stroke more to change the letter.
They were never changed.
And one fresh color to the circle.
You don't get much variety into two colors beyond red, green, and blue.
Nevertheless, the alleged Lawton tattoo includes every stroke and every color of the Worley tattoo.
It seems to.
Of course, it's only coincidence, but isn't it wonderful?
It is.
Well, now, only a few more questions. Are any of your school army friends coming here to confirm your identity?
I have at least a score of responsible persons here prepared to identify the plaintiff. I don't know whether I shall find it necessary to call them.
I believe Sir Mark Lawton served with the Rifle Brigade for something like 7 years before the war.
Yes, and I remember nothing of it at all.
So if I produce various officers of the regiment who served with Sir Mark before the war, you would not undertake to identify any of them?
No, I wouldn't. And it's not my fault. I didn't want to be shell-shocked out of all the memories of youth. Here I am, a man of 40. Yes, over 40. And for all practical purposes, my recollections of life started about 10 years ago.
Silence! Silence!
If this alleged loss of memory was so complete, how was it you were able to remember your pre-war engagement and the lady's name at the prison camp?
I might have forgotten it. I might have continued to forget my engagement and even my fiancée's name. But some of her letters were in my pocket when I was taken prisoner. And later, letters from her naturally revived my recollection.
I want to make quite sure that I have correctly taken down that very important explanation.
I would say I largely relearnt the details of my family and hers from my fiancée's letters. I'm thankful to say she wrote to me regularly throughout my imprisonment.
I assume the letters were addressed to Sir Mark Lawton.
I have told you they were written to me. Oh, for heaven's sake, if I'm Welney, what became of Lawton?
A most interesting question which I don't propose to answer now. That is the end of my cross-examination, my lord.
Sir Wilfred? Thank you, my lord. I don't think there's much I need to try to clear up by re-examination. Sir Mark, in spite of my learned friend's curiosity, you are still quite certain you are yourself.
I'm more certain than I ever was.
Who first suggested that you were not?
The Canadian, Captain Buckingham.
Please tell the jury the circumstances.
2 years ago, he came to my home and asked to see me.
Under what name did he ask for you?
My own, of course, Mark Lawton. He said he was hard up and asked for money, and I gave him a tenner for old time's sake. That's where I made my mistake.
Why?
He didn't think it enough. He became very abusive. I had to send for the servants to have him turned out.
Perhaps we may meet Captain Buckingham someday. Now, just a word about this Frank Welney. You don't deny there is such a man?
Well, of course not. I spent 2 years in prison camp with him.
One last question about those tattoo marks. Why did you have them done?
I believe it was really the sight of those letters on Wellness arm which put the idea into my head.
And why did you select the initials of your wife's maiden name?
Well, it occurred to me that if I didn't get home alive, well, I'd like to carry my fiancée's initials to my grave. Sounds very sentimental, I'm afraid, but, well, some of us are.
I have no doubt the jury will appreciate that, Sir Mark. Thank you.
Have you finished, Sir Wilfred?
I have just one more witness, my lord. Lady Loddon.
Lady Loddon. Lady Loddon.
I don't want to appear to be interfering with the conduct of the case by a counsel of your experience, Sir Wilfred.
My lord, I should welcome any suggestions.
Of course, I'm not in any way prejudicing the issues, but in view of the plaintiff's own evidence, is it really necessary to impose on Lady Loddon the strain of going into the witness box?
But I ought to give evidence for my husband, I promise.
One moment, Lady Loddon. Your lordship will appreciate that my friend the defendant's counsel might feel justified in allowing himself certain comment if he were denied the opportunity of cross-examining Lady Loddon.
What do you say to that, Mr. Foxley?
Oh, I entirely agree with your lordship. The very responsible newspaper which I represent has no desire to add in any way to the poignancy of Lady Loddon's position.
I'm much obliged for my friend's courtesy.
I was confident that would be so, Mr. Foxley. Then, Lady Loddon, you'll be relieved, I feel sure, to be free from the necessity of giving evidence.
My lord, of course, I must do what you think best. Thank you. I'm sure everyone's being wonderfully kind to me.
Hello, Chalmers. Come and sit down and have a drink with me. Steward, another whiskey, please.
Thanks. I've just come from the Royal Court. The Admiral made a good showing.
Gave evidence for Sir Mark Loddon, did he?
Yes, said he never had a moment's doubt about his nephew's identity.
In spite of his war experiences?
Oh, he said he'd changed a bit, but that was only to be expected.
And what about his parents-in-law?
Oh,
thanks, Stuart.
Oh, very positive.
Well, of course, they could hardly say otherwise, or the Admiral. Not that I'm questioning their bona fide, but what would Lady Loddon's position be, or that of her son, if they admitted any doubt of Sir Mark's identity, eh?
Defense tried to find out from a doctor whether the shell shock was genuine or not, but he wouldn't commit himself. But he did say that a person could be pretending to suffer from shell shock in order to cover up any ignorance of personal details or events.
So he could be Sir Mark Loddon, or he could be Frank Wellney, masquerading as Sir Mark, eh? Oh, what a dilemma.
Have you any further witnesses, Mr. Foxley?
Yes, my lord. Call Sarah Carlton.
Sarah Carlton.
Sarah Carlton, repeat after me. I swear the evidence I shall give.
I swear the evidence I shall give.
Shall be the truth, the old truth, and nothing but the truth.
Shall be the truth, the old truth, and nothing but the truth.
Your name is Sarah Carlton, and you're a single woman living at 5 Dunster Terrace, Salisbury.
Yes.
Did you go through a form of marriage at St. Mary's Church, Andover, 12 years ago?
Yes. Yes, I did.
With the plaintiff?
You mean that man over there? Yes, I did.
Under what name?
Frank Wellney was a Canadian officer.
No doubt about it.
Of course not.
Did he support you?
No. He went to France a week later just after he'd heard he had a wife already.
I think you reported that to the army authorities.
Yes, but Darl is no good. I think they thought a bigamist stopped a bullet just as well as a bachelor.
Perhaps they're right. Do you remember any particular marks on Wellney's body?
Yes. He had his initials tattooed on his right arm.
Have you seen them lately?
I saw them yesterday when Frank showed his arm in court. But the F had been faked into an E and the circle had altered a bit.
Thank you, Miss Carlton.
Your witness, Sir Wilfred.
As your lordship pleases. Miss Carlton, you understand the gravity of your identification?
Oh, yes.
You understand it would involve the nullity of the plaintiff's marriage to his present wife and the illegitimacy of his son and heir?
Well, why not? What about me?
I'm coming to you. When were you asked to give evidence?
Oh, about 6 months ago.
By whom?
By detectives. Asking for the Gazette's lawyers.
How did they get you to identify him?
They showed me a photograph of Frank.
They would.
I knew him at once.
And I've no doubt they mentioned the tattoo marks.
They did ask me whether he had FW tattooed on his arm. I said yes, at once.
Oh, I believe you. Quite. At once.
I wanted to help justice.
Nothing like a novel enterprise. Did they take you anywhere?
They took me down to see him read the lessons in a church at Norfolk. I recognized him immediately.
Even without the tattoo marks?
Yes, I did.
Splendid. And what have they paid you for your identification?
I've had nothing from the techs. Zett's lawyers have given me £1 or 2 a week ever since to keep me from getting out of touch with them.
I suggest that for regular payment, you would identify Mr. Foxley or me as a former husband.
What do you mean? I've not come here to be insulted.
That might be almost impossible. There were a number of overseas soldiers near Andover during the war, weren't there?
Oh, thousands of them.
How often did you go to the altar with any of them?
Eh? What are you getting at?
I should like to get at the truth. Come, Miss Carlton, how many did you get married to?
That's my business.
I dare say it is, but let us into the secret.
I decline to answer.
I don't want to be unpleasant, but I'm afraid you must.
I've not come here to be blackmailed.
No, no, not to be blackmailed.
Miss Carlton, did you hear counsel's question?
Yes, my lord.
Then answer us at once and don't waste the time of the court.
Will you put it again?
Miss Carlton, I put it to you that you went through 4 marriage ceremonies, including Wellness.
Yes.
And every one bigamous.
What do you mean? How dare you?
You were married, first of all, to an English soldier called Gately. He's still alive. Oh, you're not so sure about Wellney now, are you?
I shan't answer any more questions.
And I shan't bother to ask them. That is all, Miss Carlton.
Call Patrick Buckingham.
Patrick Buckingham. Patrick Buckingham. Repeat after me. I swear the evidence I shall give.
I swear the evidence I shall give.
Shall be the truth.
Shall be the truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Your name is Patrick Buckingham. During the war, you were a captain in the 7th Ontario Pioneers.
Yes, that's right.
You were taken prisoner and sent to a German war camp.
Yes.
How many British officers were there?
Well, after the cholera outbreak, only 3 of us were left. Him over there, Mark Loudon, and me.
Who is him?
Wellney, of course.
How do you know the plaintiff is Wellney?
Well, by his face. I was in prison camp with him for about 3 years. We were both in the Canadian forces, so we palled up. Mark Loudon was a decent enough fellow, but not really pally.
Was there any resemblance between Wellney and Loudon?
Well, up to a point, they might have been twins. They were about the same height and build, had the same type of face, but that was about all.
Did Wellney have a strong Canadian accent?
No, he had hardly any accent at all. He called himself a Canadian, but he'd wandered about a bit in various places. I shouldn't be surprised if he was born in England.
I see. Now, whilst you were in the camp with Sir Mark Loudon, did you notice his shell shock?
Not a bit of it.
You're sure of that?
Well, how do you suppose we heard all about his family history if his memory was all shell shocked away?
So he told you a lot about himself.
Yes. Wellney was very interested and seemed fascinated by the title.
Wellney, now. You remember the letters FW were tattooed on his right forearm?
Yes. And the letters were the same size and pattern as the EW on the plaintiff's arm, which I saw in court yesterday.
That's very interesting. Now, do you remember Sir Mark Loudon's tattoo?
Well, he never even had the dot of an eye tattooed. He was far too much of the gentleman.
I can believe it. Now, let's move on to the time you three escaped. Tell the court about the night you became separated.
Well, on this night, it was my turn to forage for food. Wellney or I always had to do it. You see, we two had got hold of civvies. Loudon was in uniform all the time, so he had to lie doggo.
Well, what happened on that particular night?
Well, we were on the outskirts of a small town, Stavelot, near the Belgian border. I managed to steal some sausages from a butcher shop. When I got back, Wellney had done a bunk. He disappeared. Only Loudon was there, and he...
Well?
He was lying on the ground with his head bashed in.
What had happened?
Well, I don't suppose we'll ever know that.
Any signs of a struggle?
Yes, he was smothered in blood and his right arm had been smashed to pulp.
And there was no trace of Wellney?
You bet not. And no trace of anything in Loudon's pockets either.
What did you do?
Well, the poor beggar had gone west, but I couldn't leave him lying there with stragglers from the German army swarming all over the place. So I lifted him up as well as I could in the dark and took him along to the door of the first house. Left him in the step and ran for my life.
Did you ever report this matter?
Yes. After the war was over, I reported it to the Canadian Corps headquarters. I told them about Wellney, too.
When did you meet the plaintiff again?
Well, I was wandering about the country about some 2 years ago and came on Sir Mark Loudon's place by accident. I knew poor old Mark was dead, but I thought there might be some relation there. I was hard up at the time and thought he might stump up a bit after I told him about Sir Mark.
Well?
Well, to my surprise, who should appear but my old pal Wellney? Quite the squire, too. Good gun over his shoulder, a nice dog at his heels. He could have knocked me over with a feather. And the same feather would have sent him rolling.
What did he say?
Well, he pretended at first he didn't know me. Then he pulled himself together and said, well, why, bless my soul, Pat, it's you. Come inside and have a drink.
Yes.
But then he turned nasty. Asked me why I kept calling him Frank, and didn't I remember his name was Mark. He got really angry, and I said, well, it's no use getting narked. You know perfectly well you had old Loudon in that night. And then that feathers really began to fly, and he had me chucked up.
Then what happened?
That put my back up. I tumbled to it that he was pretending to be Sir Mark Lawton. So I made it my business to find out the man who ought to be in Sir Mark's shoes and house and title and estate.
And who was that?
Captain Gerald Lawton, who lived in the next village. I had what you might call a heart-to-heart talk with him. Well, and there you are.
I suppose he was interested in what you told him.
My lord, I've never seen a man more interested in anything.
I dare say.
I'll only ask you one more question, Captain Buckingham. Have you the least doubt about the identity of the plaintiff?
No. He's Frank Wellmey.
Thank you. That'll be all.
You're with us, Sir Wilfred.
As it pleases, your lordship.
Captain Buckingham, am I right in assuming that your suggestion is that Frank Wellmey murdered Sir Mark Lawton?
Yes, of course he did. I left them together.
You've told us there were German stragglers about. Couldn't one of them have been responsible?
Well, then what became of Wellmey? No, of course not.
How can you be so sure it was Sir Mark, and not Wellmey that you carried? It was dark, you said, and his face was covered in blood.
But there was no doubt about it. I knew his uniform. I told you, he was the only one of us in uniform.
Tell me, how long is it since you called at Sir Mark's home?
Just over a year ago.
What employment have you had since then?
Oh, I've seen different people about this case.
What have you lived on? You admitted you were hard up.
Well, different people have given me money.
Now, aren't you lucky? I wonder who.
Well, the Gazette's given me a bit.
Sounds very generous of them. How much?
£10 a week to keep me in England.
And who else has given you money?
Well, Captain Gerald Lawton sent me a couple of tenors a month.
He seems a generous, open-handed sportsman.
Well, if they hadn't kept me here, I'd have to have gone back to Canada.
And that might be disastrous for Captain Gerald. Captain Buckingham, since you were demobilized, have you spent some time in jail?
Excuse me, Judge. Is the barrister allowed to go into my private troubles?
Certainly he is, on cross-examination. Answer counsel's questions. They are directed to the point whether you are a person to be believed on oath. Now answer his question.
Yes.
9 months in Liverpool jail for false pretenses.
Yes.
18 months at Newcastle for blackmail.
Something of the sort.
And didn't you get 3 years at the Old Bailey again for blackmail?
Yes.
Some people might describe you as a professional blackmailer.
Then some people would be wrong.
And now you're at it again.
What do you mean?
You threatened Sir Mark. You threatened him with an accusation of murder. You tried to get money out of him and he threw you out of his house. You have given false witness in this case. I think the jury will know what to do with you and your evidence.
Silence.
No further questions.
You may leave the box, witness.
Call Dr. Emile Flordon.
Dr. Emile Flordon.
Dr. Emile Flordon, repeat after me. I swear the evidence I shall give.
I swear that the evidence I shall give.
Shall be the truth.
Shall be the truth.
The old truth and nothing but the truth.
The old truth and nothing but the truth.
Your name is Emile Flordon, and you practice as a doctor of medicine in the town of Stavelot on the old Belgian frontier.
Really? Oh, I mean, yes.
I believe you understand English, Doctor.
Perfectly, monsieur, perfectly. I studied anatomy for 1 year at your hospital of Saint Bartholomew.
You act as physician and surgeon to the Hospice d'Aliénés at Stavelot.
For more than 20 years, that is so.
That is a public mental asylum?
For the poor and friendless. At the expense of the state.
Do you remember an incident involving a British officer shortly before the end of the war?
Oh, certainly, monsieur. It comes back to me distinctly. A boy summoned me at midnight to a farmhouse, and on arrival I found on the doorstep a body in a very old English uniform. I knelt down, I felt the pulse, the heart. The man was not quite dead, but oh, so nearly a corpse has made no difference.
Sir Wilfred, did you hear that?
Yes, Sir Mark, I heard.
In what condition was the body?
The skull had been fractured, the face was drenched in blood, and the right arm was smashed. Evidently there had been a terrible struggle, and the wounded man had received many savage blows with the butt of a rifle or some heavy club.
What did you do?
Oh, there was no hope of recovery, but I did my best. I had him taken to my hospice for mental cases, where next day I amputated his right arm.
And then?
Gradually a miracle occurred. A miracle, monsieur. My poor unfortunate recovered completely, in a physical sense, but the appalling concussion of the blows which so nearly killed him has deprived him of all intelligence.
Oh, did you hear that, Sir Wilfred?
Sit down, Sir Mark, and be quiet.
Silence.
Can this man speak, Dr. Flora?
No, he cannot understand a word, written or spoken, English or French. He is a living log, no more.
What became of him? He is still alive, I gather.
Yes, my lord. He has never, ever since been an inmate. We call him Numero 15.
Number 15?
Why, what other name could we give him? We knew him not. and that is his number of his cell.
I believe you can produce an exhibit associated with this staircase.
Yes, I have here the khaki jacket Numero 15 was wearing at the time. You see, it is stained with blood and has lost its right sleeve. I had to cut it away to examine the arm.
Can you produce anything else, Dr. Flordon?
Yes. I have brought with me another exhibit from Belgium. Numero 15.
Number 15?
Yes, my lord. May my assistant bring him in?
Yes. Yes, he may bring him in.
Read all about it. Read all about the modern gate. The sentence in court. Read all about it.
I say, Chalmers, have you heard the latest development in the Loddon libel case?
No, I couldn't get along to court today. Why, what's happened?
Oh, it's all here in the newspaper. The defendants produced a Belgian doctor as a witness, and he brought an unknown man into court, a poor brainless creature. Sir Mark collapsed at the sight of him, and Lady Loddon has been called as a witness for the defense.
But I don't understand, Mr. Foxley. You are calling Sir Mark's wife as a witness?
The plaintiff's wife, my lord. Your lordship will recall that there was some question of her giving evidence yesterday.
Yes, yes, of course, but that was on her husband's behalf. This is very unusual.
This is a very unusual case, my lord.
So it seems.
Very well. Call Lady Loddon.
Lady Loddon.
Lady Loddon, repeat after me. I swear the evidence I shall give.
I swear the evidence I shall give.
Shall be the truth.
The
whole truth and nothing but the truth.
The whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Would you like a seat on the box, Lady Loddon?
Oh, no, thank you, my lord.
Lady Loddon, you've not been subpoenaed to give evidence.
No.
You're giving evidence of your own free will. Well, Lady Loddon.
No, not exactly of my own free will.
Ah, be quiet, Sir Wilfred. Now, I think you should explain that, Lady Loddon.
I'm here because... Well, my father insists that I ought to give my evidence, and
But your father, General Winterton, has already given evidence for Sir Mark.
For the plaintiff, my lord. I'm now calling his daughter, this lady, for the defendants.
Of course, that's obvious. Well, Lady Loddon, are you willing to be called on behalf of the defense?
It's for Mark. I must, even now.
For Sir Mark? You seem to be taking a great risk, Mr. Foxley.
I'm prepared to incur it, my lord. Before we go any further, Lady Loddon, I think perhaps you owe an explanation to my lord and the jury. They saw you go into the box yesterday, apparently prepared to give evidence for your husband.
Yes.
If you had given evidence yesterday, would it have been the evidence you are prepared to give today?
No. The evidence wouldn't have been the same.
Lady Loddon, I'm sure you don't mean you'd intended to give evidence to mislead this court.
Oh, no, my lord, I wouldn't. I thought I felt sure that what I was going to say was the truth. Then.
Then? I see. Well, Mr. Foxley?
If your lordship pleases. Now, Lady Loddon, I have a very important question to ask you. Do you now believe your husband, the plaintiff in this action, is really Mark Loddon?
Well, Lady Loddon?
No. No, he is not Mark Loddon.
Mr. Foxley, when I adjourned the court yesterday in view of the plaintiff's sudden indisposition, you had not closed your examination.
I shall not distress Lady Loddon by any more questions, my lord.
I see. Lady Loddon, will you come into the witness box for Sir Wilfred's cross-examination?
Lady Loddon, your husband is most anxious that I should not cross-examine you. You'll forgive me if I overrule his wishes.
Certainly, Sir Wilfred. You must do your duty.
Well, now. When did you first suspect that your husband was not Sir Mark?
It's so difficult to explain. I never exactly suspected until yesterday.
I see.
And yet, even from the first, I felt there was something different about him. Yes, even when he first came back from the war.
Something different?
I never told anyone. I couldn't. But I couldn't understand why his return didn't seem to revive what I used to feel for him. I had so longed for it. And when it came, there seemed to be a sort of wall between us, a wall I could never pass through.
A wall?
There was no confidence between us. There were things I could never ask him, things he would never talk about.
Wasn't that natural, Lady Loddon, after those years of separation and after all he had gone through?
I've tried so hard to think so, but now I understand.
Now you understand?
Since yesterday.
You mean your suspicions became more definite yesterday?
Yes.
But why only yesterday?
After hearing the evidence, after seeing that man...
Number 15. If your husband is, in fact, Frank Wellney, number 15 should be Mark Lawton. Is that what you...
I don't know. I don't know if my husband is Frank Wellney. I only know he isn't Mark.
You mean you don't believe he is Mark?
Isn't that the same thing?
Not quite, Lady Lawton. Now, would you swear to recognize number 15?
No, 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 that's just it. I couldn't. That's the terrible part. I can't recognize him at all. I can't. But I saw my husband's face when that poor man came into court. I saw that he recognized him. You did, Mark. You recognized him. You did.
Silence in court, Mark.
Lady Lawton, you began your evidence yesterday.
Yes.
Before doing so, did you ask your husband for any explanation?
No, there was no time.
Well, didn't you think, if your husband's expression impressed you so strongly, that you ought to have asked for his explanation? After all, you might have misunderstood it.
I saw it, Sir Wilfred. I couldn't misunderstand it.
Since giving your evidence yesterday, have you asked your husband for an explanation of that look?
No. I haven't spoken to him. I spent the night at my father's house.
And your husband?
I suppose he was at home.
Alone? And at this crisis in his life?
Are you trying to torture me? If he could explain, hasn't he had all these years to do so? Why should I first learn of Frank Wellney only after this libel was published?
Might there not well be some incidents in a strenuous and dangerous escape which any man might wish to forget?
I'm his wife. Couldn't he trust me? Didn't I wait for him? Haven't I given everything to him? Everything, all these years, because I thought he was Mark.
Lady Lawton, supposing your husband could prove he was Sir Mark.
If he could prove it? Oh, how can he? Oh, dear.
Perhaps we can wait a few minutes for Lady Lawton to recover before you continue your cross-examination, Sir Wilfred.
I have no more questions to ask, my lord.
Neither have I, my lord. And I shall call no further evidence.
Then that closes the case for the defense.
Yes, my lord.
Well, Sir Wilfred, have you decided on any particular course? Is this case to go to the jury?
I wish to recall my client on the question of the uniform jacket, which was produced by Dr. Flordong yesterday.
He doesn't look to me fit to go into the box again, but he has the right to give his evidence on that one point, if he wishes.
Sir Mark, will you go to the box?
And he can, if he wishes, give his evidence sitting down.
Thank you, my lord.
Sir Mark, you had an opportunity yesterday of seeing the uniform jacket produced by Dr. Flordong.
Yes.
You admit that it is a rifle brigade jacket?
Most certainly. I have no doubt it was mine.
Silence in court.
Do you mean your uniform was on number 15 when he was found by Dr. Flordong?
Yes, my lord.
Will you tell the court, Sir Mark, how your jacket came to be on number 15?
Buckingham was speaking the truth when he said he went foraging that night, leaving Wellney and me together. He was away a long time, so Wellney went to look for him. I always had to keep in the background. I was the only one in uniform.
I see, yes.
Wellney was away for hours, too. And at last, I began to think they'd both been caught or shot.
But I only want to hear about the jacket.
I'm coming to it, my lord. When neither Buckingham nor Wellney came back, I began to creep along the edge of the wood towards the town. Suddenly, round a corner, I bumped into a German soldier. He was as frightened as I was, and without a word, he fired his rifle.
What happened then?
I dashed in and wrenched the rifle from him. He put up his arms to save himself, and I brought the butt down on his head. He dropped like a stone.
Yes.
It was horrible. Horrible. I hate to think of it even now.
Go on, Sir Mark.
I thought I'd killed him. I suddenly realized where I stood. I'd lost my two companions. I felt sure they'd been captured, and on top of that, I'd killed a German soldier. That meant certain death if I was caught.
Go on.
It seemed to me my only chance of getting through was to get out of my uniform and get into a German one. So I changed uniforms with the man I'd killed, or thought I'd killed. Of course, I took everything out of my own pockets. Then I ran for all I was worth. If I hadn't made the change, I'd never have got through. Never, never, never.
Is there anything else you wish to add, Sir Mark?
Only this. Unless someone changed the uniform again after I got away, that poor devil whom Dr. Flordon saved is not an Englishman at all. He's that German soldier.
Thank you, Sir Mark. That is all.
Do you wish to cross-examine, Mr. Foxley?
If it pleases your lordship. Are you sure, witness, that you're fit for cross-examination? Whatever view the jury may take, there's no doubt you had a great shock.
Yes. Yes, I've had a great shock. Yet in some ways I feel fitter to answer your questions than I was 2 days ago.
What does that mean?
The shock seems to have brought a few things back to me. I believe I might be able to tell you a bit more now of pre-war events than I could then.
Very interesting. But this encounter with the German soldier was not pre-war. Why haven't we heard of it before?
I didn't think it mattered then.
Then? If it's true, why suppress it?
Because until yesterday, I didn't know that poor devil was alive. I might be Wellney, or Wellney might be me. What happened to that German can make no difference until you produce that jacket.
And you never mentioned the matter to anyone before today?
No.
Not even to your wife?
No. I didn't want her to associate me with that sort of thing.
What sort of thing? What are you keeping back?
I did what I did in hot blood.
What did you do to that German of yours?
I told you! Leave me alone.
Have you? What are you keeping back?
The way I killed him.
But I have a note of what you said. I brought the butt down on his head. He dropped like a stone.
Yes.
Is that the truth? I want an answer. Haven't we got it all even now?
No, not all. Not all. I'll tell you. My first blow smashed his arm. Oh, he gave a dreadful scream. More noise would have brought up some of his friends. He was down, helpless. I saw red. Well, I had to finish him off. I had to. If I was to have a chance of getting away and getting home and seeing
Take
my
your
family.
Time, Sir Mark.
How many more blows did you give him?
Oh, how can I tell? Blow after blow. I can't think of it. I don't want to think of it. I've tried to forget it all these years. I won't remember it. Never told my wife. I couldn't tell her. Oh, there was always that between us, keeping us apart. She told the truth. It was the truth. Never since the war have I been the Mark Ludden she promised to marry.
So we seem to be right. You are a man capable of brutal murder.
Did you ever serve in the war, Mr. Foxley? Oh, don't bother to answer. I know it. If you can't see the difference between murdering a fellow prisoner and killing an enemy soldier who's fired on you, whose continued existence would cut you off from life, from liberty, and home and wife.
Can you produce a shred of evidence that would substantiate your story?
No. Oh, it all depends on my word.
What became of the German uniform you say you escaped in?
Oh, I burnt it when I reached our lines. I wanted to forget it.
That is unfortunate. It might have given the name or regimental number of your mythical German.
Oh, I can give you his name and regimental number.
Never mind the number. Perhaps I can tell you the name. Wasn't it Mark Ludden?
No, it wasn't.
My lord, it doesn't appear to interest my friend, but I'm sure it would interest the jury. Sir Mark, I want you to tell the court the name of that German soldier.
Karl Geist.
Karl Geist. Are you sure of that name?
Yes, my lord.
How?
Here it is on his identity disc.
Identity disc? Usher, please pass the disc to me. You swear this was on the body of the German soldier whose uniform you exchanged for your own?
I do, my lord. I took it with his uniform.
And you've kept it all these years?
Yes, it's been locked in my safe. After Dr. Flodden's evidence yesterday, I drove specially home last night to get it.
It seems to me it becomes increasingly difficult for a jury to give a verdict in this case.
Let me say this here and now, Lord. I only want the verdict for the sake of one person, my son. I've already lost the only verdict I wanted for myself, my wife.
Oh, no, Mark.
But I want my son to know that I was entitled to be his father.
I have no further questions to ask, my lord. You may leave the box. Well, Mr. Foxley, are you going to address the jury?
My lord.
My lord. Something has just come back to me.
What is it?
May I look at my jacket, my lord?
Certainly. Usher, pass the jacket to the plaintiff. Although I don't see how it'll help.
Thank you. My lord, will someone please lend me a knife?
A knife? What for?
I want to cut out something I sewed into the back of my breast pocket.
Silence.
Usher, pass the plaintiff a pocket knife. When did you sew this something into your jacket?
In the prison camp, before I escaped. I sewed into the lining a photograph and 250-mark notes. They're still here. And here is the photograph.
May I see it, Sir Mark? Usher, please pass the photograph to me.
It was taken years ago, but I suppose you can recognize it.
Perhaps I can, Sir Mark. But it's your evidence, not mine. And I think you should tell the jury yourself.
Yes, it all begins to come back to me, my lord. This is the photograph my wife gave me when we were engaged. I took it with me to France. I always had it in that pocket.
Don't distress yourself, Lady Loddon.
Yes, this is the photograph of Lady Loddon. I see something is written on it. to darling Mark with all my love, Enid.
With all my love.
Oh, what have I done? What have I done?
Yes, I remember now. That photograph was taken at Windsor the day of our engagement.
Yes, I see it was taken by our Windsor photographer. Your memory certainly seems to have improved, Sir Mark.
To be repudiated in court by your own wife is a bigger shock, my lord, than any shell can give.
Oh, Mark, Mark.
My lord, it is abundantly clear that the plaintiff has been the victim of an appalling mistake. The jury will not be troubled in this case. The allegation will be withdrawn, an apology published, and financial compensation made.
Your lordship will appreciate that this action was not brought to recover money.
Quite clearly not. And I hope that through this trial, something more than money has been recovered by Sir Mark and Lady Loddon.
Mark. Mark, will you ever forgive me? Will you ever understand how I felt with that barrier between us?
Do you love me, Enid? You still love me after hearing the evidence I was forced to give in court.
I love you with all my heart.
Then it's you who must forgive me. Oh, I would have given the world to keep it from you.
No. For it's better this way. For now we're free. Free from memories, free from the past. And nothing can ever come between us again.
Be sure to tune in next Wednesday night at 8 and every Wednesday night for the week's finest radio entertainment brought to you for your listening pleasure by your hosts, the Brewers of Castle Lager. So until next week then, a very good night to you all.